Into the wild I'm going, into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom child, since I left my roots back home. Into the wild I'm going, into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom child, since I left my roots back home.
Welcome to the Free Birth Society podcast. This is a radical space for women who are ready to celebrate their autonomous choices in birth, motherhood, and beyond. Together, we'll learn about wild birth through personal narrative, we'll explore the politics of birth, and we'll analyze everything that relates to our lives as women from a feminist perspective. Here's your host, Emily Saldea.
It's been a while, freedom child.
Rachel.
Emily.
What's up, girl?
Hi.
Hi, I'm excited to be doing this with you today.
I'm so excited, so honored.
Kind of a long time coming, huh?
It is. And I have to say, I'm sitting in my womb room right now, which is a space that has held so many circles for so many women, pregnancy, birth, sisters, and yeah, to have your living energy here right now. It feels so good. Thank you. I'm in total respect and honor of the work you do in the world. So thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I was thinking on it this morning that you and I did one session, maybe two.
Yeah, I think two.
Maybe two or yeah. It's like we did a couple in 2020. Uh-huh. Is that correct?
Yeah. So okay. Long ago.
Yeah. So long seems ago. Like that. And wow, that just feels like a whole different era of my life and probably yours. So we have a lot to catch up on. Because you were still at that time, 4 years ago, very much still, or even like beginning to really process your first birth, which you're going to talk about today. And then you're coming on with this triumphant tale of this new baby. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
So why don't you share a little bit about where you live, what you're up to, who you are, and specifically we're going to start with who are you before you become a mom? What's your orientation to birth and to the medical system? Kind of like give a little snapshot of who you are and then take us into this that pregnancy and then that birth story, whatever wants to get shared about that.
Yeah, cool. My name is Rachel Ruva, and I am from the States, but I live in Denmark. My children are a product of a very epic love story that I have with my husband. We met while living and working on a permaculture tantra community on a volcanic island in the middle of Lake Nicaragua. So it was like a very, very epic tale of us falling madly in love and choosing to do life together. Yeah, and that basically brought me to living in this very tiny country, which is smaller than my home state of Ohio, and really darling, integrating myself, and basically arrived to 2 years of being in partnership. And at a New Year's party, I experienced what was, I guess, my first real like primal awakening in my body, where my womb demanded that I have a child. Two gorgeous pregnant women walked in and I just sat on the couch and wept. I was just overcome with so much emotion and longing in a way that I had not experienced before. I'd been like doing womb work for some years, but it was really geared towards like the cyclicality of my woman body and reclaiming my cyclical nature and getting off birth control, all of these things. I hadn't bridged the gap into what motherhood or pregnancy could be. And I'd always also said, I don't want to get pregnant. I don't want kids. Like I also don't want to get married. This like very rejection of traditions kind of thing. So I was taken aback that my body would respond so wholly and fully to this idea that I had intellectually said no to. But it was so powerful. And my husband was like, yeah, we've already talked about this. We're having kids. I'm like, what? No. So he was ready. And basically I spent like 3 months doing a little physical nutritional upgrade, a little spiritual download check-in, and then we opened to conceiving our first baby, and that was so beautiful to do in a loving, conscious way. I got pregnant, and also simultaneously negotiating, what am I doing in Denmark? I have a graduate degree that's not really applicable to what, to be in this country. So who am I? What's my new role here? And then a friend was like, you know, I just took this doula training and maybe that's something for you. So I entered this doula training, which is led by a private midwife here. And she's really cool. And she's like, basically my hands are tied legally. So I kind of want to like gear up and teach doulas how to go out in the world and like dismantle the system. This was like her backwards way of doing
Weird.
It. So, but it was also really beautiful. We got to, I felt that I didn't have to do a lot of the unlearning that some of the larger doula corporations offer. That it was like, she was like, listen, this is how the system works. This is physiological birth. This is where they don't match. Go out in the world. So I'm like, okay, cool. I get pregnant. It's so good. At 12 weeks, I attend my first birth, and it's a hospital birth. This is a part of like our practicum that we find a woman that we can serve. And basically that was traumatic and terrible. And I decided right there and then I will never support women in hospitals. Like, that's just so clear to me. It goes against everything that I believe in my body. So that was like a hard no.
How did you reckon with the kind of doula narrative of like, but someone should be with them? Like, at least you can hold their hand.
That's the thing. And I had so many conversations along this line as I decided to stay out of the hospitals, and people would ask me that. And it just felt to me that I was crossing too many of my own boundaries, that it was actually witnessing horror that I was unwilling to. But I had not yet bridged the gap that hospital births can happen in the home. So I was like, but I'm a home birth doula, and that's what I can do, right? But I paused all that and just continued growing my baby. And I got very charmed and excited about the idea of having this like sweet little Scandinavian midwife. In Denmark, they have a home birth teams for various regions. And I just had this idea that like, oh my God, it's free healthcare. It's a welfare state. Like these lovely little grannies in the corner, like the village midwife. This is what I'm imagining. And I get to know her. So she comes to my house and we have meetings together.
These government agent granny midwives.
You know, but it, you don't know until you know.
No, it's I found the pitch. Out. It's totally it's, the pitch. It, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so I meet with three women over the course of my pregnancy, and one of them will be on call, right? Two of them are like super cool. And of course I have my giant birth plan of all the things I do not want because I'm having a natural home birth. So I'm like, no, all the things, no vaginal exams, no Doppler. I'm not doing any ultrasounds, blah, 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 blah. On and on the list goes, because I think this will buy me some form of safety. And I feel like such a good prepared girl, like, yay. I've done my homework and I know what I want. So here's my request. Two of them were so cool about it. And they were like, wow, it's so nice to learn from women. Like, we never really get women making requests like this. This is so cool. I'm like, okay. The third, she was a real bitch. She really was. And she just told me, if you don't want a vaginal exam and I'm on duty that day, then we can just go to the hospital and see what they have to say about that, because I'm doing vaginal exam.
Oh, wow.
I was like, oh, okay. I was still so deep in my good girl persona era that like that red flag did nothing for me. That was still just like, okay, so I'm going to fret for the next many months about this woman potentially being on call and coming into my sacred space. The idea of saying no somehow did not occur to me. So that was just an undercurrent of the theme of my pregnancy, is praying that this woman was not on call during my labor. Around 30 or so weeks, they spring on me that I do in fact need to go get an ultrasound to locate placenta because they're freaking out that I'm an hour away from a hospital, blah, blah, blah. I come with all of my, this is why I don't have that and I don't want it. I'm like solidly against ultrasounds. Have to, another red flag. I submit. It was just like, again, it did not occur to my brain to seek a way out. So I remember sitting in the hospital parking lot and weeping, feeling like completely crushed that I was about to go into this disgusting medicalized procedure that I felt very unsafe with. And yet I did it.
The whole setup is designed for you to betray yourself. It's so wild. You know, I mean, these are the tales of women just constantly being like, I didn't want it and I did it anyway. So interesting.
And it is interesting, but it's also very indicative of where I was on my journey, because
Sure.
that would not happen now. And why it happened then, it makes so much sense. Like, of course, I was obliterating my boundaries all the time. I was like the people pleaser and the appeaser, and it was very easy. Ever I get the ultrasound, obviously, and my placenta is in perfect position, as I intuitively knew, and I go on with my pregnancy. At 40 weeks on the dot, according to their measurement, whatever, my labor begins, and I just basically start feeling some sensations at dinner, and it progresses continually throughout the night. And I'm super excited, and my partner and I light a candle and say some prayers, and it's so beautiful. And I kind of just journey in my own space for some hours. I had hired a doula, and then we had this midwife. So he calls my doula, and she comes around like 2 a.m. This starts at like 8 p.m. And we're all just hanging out. And then finally, my midwife calls, and it's like, "What's going on?" And he's like, "Oh yeah." Like, she's deep in. She's like, "Okay, I'm coming." I'm just on my hands and knees in complete surrender, and my body's doing an amazing job. The midwife walks in, and she's like super sweet and calm, and is like,
Oh,
"How are
wait, did we get the
you?"
one we hate?
No, okay, yes, sorry, not the one I hate, the one I really liked. She was
Okay,
super
cool.
sweet. 27 years, like this tiny little lady, like looks the picture of the archetype of what I had hoped for.
27 years old or experienced?
Sorry,
Oh,
experienced.
okay.
Yeah, 27 years of
I'm
midwifing,
doing this.
medical
Okay.
midwifing, really. She's like, "Have you felt for the baby?" And I'm like, "Oh," like literally hadn't occurred to me. And now I'm like, probably because that was also her need to gauge, right, of like what's going on. I feel in, and I can feel something squishy, like very close. I'm like, "Whoa, okay." I get in the tub, and that's my transition, and it's super intense and powerful and awesome, and I'm just rocking it. She's mostly silent until she decides that for whatever reason that she wants to hurry the process up. So asks me if I can like lie back on my back and take my knees up to my chest. Like, definitely don't want to do that. Many more times asks me, "I think it would be really helpful, a really good position, blah, blah, blah." I do it. It hurts like hell. My partner's like grabbing my other knee, and I'm like, not doing that anymore. It's like really. They have no art of space holding. They literally don't understand what it is to simply witness it. The meddling gene is like so alive in these women, and it's shocking, actually, because I feel like this birth was quite textbook. It ends up being an 8-hour labor, literally progression from A to B, like da 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 da. And I'm like, and yet still, after 27 years, you're still looking at me. My baby is descending, and you're still trying to hurry it up. And presume power over me instead of just letting my body surrender.
Yeah, they can't.
Literally can't. So then she says, which I actually don't really have any recollection of any of what I'm about to say, because I'm so flying in the cosmos and very much unaware of what my surroundings. It's just on video, so I know. She says, like, "Well, some contractions are good, some not so good, so." And I'm like, who says that to anyone ever? Terrible thing to say. And what she's referring to is what I hear in the video is that some surges I'm making a bit more noise, and you can tell seem more intense. Others, I'm just breathy and like just working with it in what is obviously a very productive way, because he's coming out, like he's descending. It's a very obvious sensation. I feel him moving closer and closer, not of my own effort. It's just happening. But for her, not good enough. So she then says, so then my husband turns the video off, which is like 2 minutes before my baby comes out. He's like, "I don't know.
Oh,
No one knows what's happening." Yes, I will still, I have to like say this to this day. I'm like, damn it.
why did you do that?
He's such a goof. It had been going for like 30 minutes, and then he, I think he's just like, I had no idea. It was so like I
Dang.
was just changing positions. So, but whatever, I have the timeline. So I'm like, okay, this is the fascinating part that she says to me, you need to go down in your energy. It's like you're taking your sounds up, go down.
Fuck
Video goes,
off.
the video
I
goes off. So
can't with
then I know. Like, please, the recipe of how to ruin an already
They
perfect
all
process.
say it too. They all do it. It's such a line.
It's so lame. It's so lame.
Sorry, can you
Yeah, go
imagine if
ahead.
you were about to like orgasm and your partner was like, I need you to go deeper with your tones?
Oh my
You
God.
know?
Like, please interrupt me a little more because now that's gone. Like, I know my baby's like crawling back up inside of me. Like, get me away from this woman.
Okay.
Oh. So I do this, I follow her advice, and very abruptly the head comes out. And I'm actually quite shocked. I wasn't quite ready for that. So I yell like, the baby's here. And also then say, don't touch me. So I'm leaning over the tub forward. She's at the back with her headlamp behind me, which is like such a shitty place to stand, by the way, for listeners. Like, never stand behind a woman. Like, if you're going to be around her, be in her like front consciousness, because I felt sneak attacked. Then the whole room is like, no, like Rachel, it's okay, it's okay, land. I, for many years, was like, oh, she didn't actually touch me. I just was feeling like the baby, the immensity of a head out of my vagina. No, I just found a picture actually very recently where her gloved hand is actually reaching into the pool and touching my ass. And I'm like, oh, that's such a bummer because, yeah, that just feels so violating. And to also walk with the story for a while that no, she actually didn't do the thing that I didn't want her to do. And that I remember everyone being like, no, like she's not touching you. Everything's okay. And it's like, this is how I remember it. But, anyways, they're calming my energy because I am like, don't fucking touch me. His body slides
Also, it's like
out.
so heartbreaking that any woman would feel the need to yell that when
Yes.
they're bringing their
Yes.
baby here. Like,
Yes.
whoa, that says so much, you know, about
Whoa. What a starting point, right? Like, what
well,
a
just that
starting
you.
point for.
That you, it says so much about the space you're trying to claim and how not safe your animal body felt.
Exactly. Exactly.
Do you feel a deep calling within your spirit to walk with women in a sovereign and spiritual way? What if I told you there was a mentorship program that teaches about birth work rooted in the consciousness of true sovereignty, integrity, and serves women entirely independent from the medical paradigm? The Matcha-Birth Midwifery Institute is the gold standard for real sovereign midwifery around the planet that has facilitated a great remembering of what true and authentic midwifery really is. The program is divided into four distinct quarters. First, for 3 months, we teach and practice the tools of self-mastery. Then we lay everything down that you need to know about sovereign midwifery for the next 12 weeks. From there, we teach you how to actually teach what you just learned through coaching, childbirth education classes, and of course, taking one-on-one midwifery clients. We end our last quarter with building out your business from the very first nitty-gritty steps all the way through launch. This is a tried and true formula-based, power-packed business school that wraps up the entire year together so that you are ready to get into the world and fully stand in your mission successfully and sustainably. I'm extremely proud of what we've created. The results in the students speak for themselves. They're totally transformed, clear on who they are, making money from a place of purpose, teaching sovereign childbirth education, attending births outside the medical paradigm, leading circles, and changing their communities for the better. The MMI curriculum is the cutting-edge pathway where independent midwifery meets leading birth business school meets life-changing consciousness leadership tools. The Matcha-Birth Midwifery Institute only runs once a year, so drop your name on the waitlist below to learn more when we begin registration for the next round. A sovereign birthwork career awaits you, and we are here to help you make it happen.
And so he comes out. He's perfect and beautiful and floats into the water, and I take him to my chest. I remember my yoni hurting a lot and like orienting myself to like what just happened, really. Stay in the tub for a little bit, kind of felt cold. Was like, all right, I want to get out. And here's where the action starts. As you know, the third stage loves to be managed and completely, turned into a catastrophe. So I get under my bed and basically instantly she's like, placenta needs to come out and you, like, I need to catheter you because, and I'm like, no, like definitely not. I have old traumas with bladder infections and catheters. Like it's a no. Can't I just stand up and pee in a fucking bucket? Like, cause your bladder's blocking. No. Has to happen right now. Emergency. Puts a catheter up in me. Yeah. Catheters me and then is like pulling on the placenta on the cord and like digging her hand into my womb, also saying no stop. The placenta comes out quite easily, thank God. So that little huge trauma didn't last so long. And then she's like, okay, you're bleeding too much. It's the same story. Do you not hear this every time? It's the same story. But then I'm like, I have an herb. She's like, I want to give you Pitocin. I'm like, no. I have this herb, shepherd's purse. Let's use that. Again, I feel like this I feel so prepared, right? I'm like, yes. So I take that. The bleeding stops instantly. She's like amazed. She's like, I've never seen anything work like this. Like, tell me about this. What? And so what ends up happening really with this little part is that I end up heroing this herb and hyperfixating on the fact that I bled and I avoided the Pitocin. Like, I avoided the drug. So I still got my natural birth. And here's how I did it. And every woman should have shepherd's purse because, oh my God. So that was the story I drove with for a really long time without really examining the facts. You know, this what takes many years.
What would you just let's just skip ahead to current. What would you kind of quickly summarize it as now?
Absolutely normal experience that was pathologized and with a lot of fear dumped on it for absolutely no reason. There were no signs that I was having any sort of bleeding issue at all. And when we come to learn what the signs of actual true blood loss, which you and Yolanda have done amazing work, I've learned everything I know through listening to you and then seeing it in real life through the births that I attend. I am a birth keeper in Denmark. So, and we'll get to how my own engagement with serving women has actually amplified my awareness around all of this. But at the time I had one hospital birth under my belt and then my little doula training and all of my undealt with personas in good girl tactics. So in that I just again felt, okay, well, this is what's happening. She's saying it, so herb. Mm-hmm. Then instantly after, so she's done all of these fucking procedures and then she's like, and now you need stitch. So then that whole fucking shebang happens, right? Like giant Novocaine needles into my perineum, excruciatingly painful. All the while, I'm not connecting to my baby, like straight up. How could I? How could I? And this is like, obviously the largest point of grief when I review this story is that this, the most perfect, beautiful baby on the planet is lying peacefully. He's just eyes closed, chill on my chest. And I can't tend to him because my whole body is shaking as she's doing all number of things to my womb and yoni, completely unnecessary. Her fear and panic kicked in. And what I learned later was that this is just standard procedure. This is literally what she and every midwife do at every fucking birth, no matter what.
Not specific to Denmark.
Not specific to me and that I bled and thank God I had this thing. Mm-hmm. It's not specific to, yes, and definitely not Denmark. People can tell the story that it's only happening in the States. Like the States is fucking.
Yeah.
No. This cute little tiny country. Let me tell you what's happening here. It's actually a Latin American midwife came over here and she like observed the culture here. And she's like, this is so interesting because in my culture, we behave differently. What Danish midwives do is they have their machetes, but they wear them on their back. So it's like they're sneak attacking at all times. They really have this way of being like, it's totally up to you. Mm-hmm. But what I really recommend, and if you say no, then they have another way of asking it in another way until suddenly the coercion becomes so thick that women get really overwhelmed and very confused and end up obliging every time. I did it also. And they're really skilled. So it's like
That's American midwifery. That's European midwifery. That is medical midwifery. This is the same strategies and tactics of everywhere. It's in Australia. This is medical midwifery.
It's
It is
insidious.
not.
It's very
Everyone
sneaky.
thinks it's like kind of particular to where they live, and it's interesting how not true that is.
And I think what this midwife was referencing was that maybe perhaps where she's from or Latin American culture, there's a little more like, you will do this, you have no choice, da 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 da. But in Denmark, what they do is they present it as choice. It's never choice. It's never choice.
Yeah. And I would say in America, there's through socioeconomic status, like through the way that wealthier women are treated is like what you described, like the Danish midwife, and then a poor woman is more treated like what the Latin American kind of suggestion is, like they're more like bossed around. It's not as like you totally have choice, but they're actually treated exactly the same at the end of the day. They have the exact same stories, but one is
Totally.
pitched, like how you described.
Totally.
So how does this birth kind of like leave you, like how aware of what
Oh.
went down? Because this is a perfect natural home birth, isn't it?
Oh, Emily, and that is a story I walked with, and it's fascinating. It is fascinating how my mind worked to protect my identity or protect me against the trauma or just simply see what I wanted to see. Because what I walked with was that I had the dream birth. I literally used the words, I had a hands-off Danish midwife, which
Stop
is like,
it. Stop it.
I know. No, but it's shocking. It's like it's as if I went into amnesia and skipped all the parts I didn't like, and then was because the actual emergence and process of birth, I was so, I also remember being like, damn, my body's crazy. Like I didn't do it. There was no mental fortitude. It was simply my body surrendering. So it was like I took that little piece that women and my body are epic and totally designed to do this, and then extrapolated that and like left everything else out. It was just like, this is fucking awesome. I am great. Birth was great. She was wonderful. Here, take my herbs and take them to other women. And now I've done this service
Oh
because
my
now other
God.
women want Pitocin. They'll take the herb and like, hero, hero. It was so good. So
When
that
did
was a
that
big
bubble pop?
about a year. So yeah, but also to say, amazingly, my immediate postpartum was still, once she left and all of that was gone, so blissful, like so full of DMT, like literally seeing psychedelia, the love between my husband and I for this new perfect child who was just amazing was, I mean, it was next level. So that little cocoon that we made was divine. Never saw a doctor, no well visits, like just started to cut off from the system. Yeah, I guess I'd made that choice before I'd given birth. But anyways, about a year later, I am with my son in the park, and I think becoming more energized for the outer world, like my postpartum cave is kind of dissolving a little bit. I'm like, huh, I know I care about some stuff out there. Like, what? Oh, yeah, it's birth. I'm like, So I somehow find Free Birth Society podcasts.
Such a funny
And
way
I'm
of
like,
saying.
I am blown away. I am just like, what is this? What is this? And how has this never occurred to me? Isn't that fascinating that
Oh, I
the
ruined it for
oldest.
you.
Yeah, it was you, babe.
Got
Obviously.
it.
I mean, you're the
I'm
ultimate bubble burster.
yeah. I'm because someone said on an earlier interview, she was like, "Do you know?" She was like telling me about her story. She was like, "Well, you know how this goes. You ruined my birth memories." She was like, "You know how this goes."
You're hey, that little bubble of ignorance you're living in. I'm just gonna fucking pop it. And you did.
Beware,
So
be warned. Okay, so you're at the park, you're coming out of your cave, and the podcast comes into your awareness.
it does. And all of the excitement and like, yeah, just the mind-blowingness of this journey that women can take also moves into feeling super triggered. So I'm like, what the fuck is this free birth? Like, why is it named free? And I'm gonna tell you something, Emily. I messaged you in 2019. The first time we actually ever communicated was I was like, hi. Well, did you make up this term and like what's going on with free? Because I felt very free at my birth and I had a midwife. So like why is this movement co-opting the word free? I was getting super fucking triggered, right? My ego's like, no,
The word free.
you will not break my bubble. Like I had this, right? And
Wait,
you did. And
Was this on Facebook or
It was on
Instagram or
Instagram, like
email?
so long ago,
Did I
Instagram.
respond?
Oh yeah, you did in your typical Emily fashion, and you
What
were
did I
like,
say?
"That's great. It sounds like you had a traditional midwife at your birth, and it sounds epic. Like, good job." I was like, "It's still free, right? It's still free." So
Hopefully, I didn't
I
take
wasn't ready
measurements.
to fully I wasn't ready to fully look at it.
Yeah, obviously.
What allowed me to was that I got all this energy to start holding birth circles. So it was like, as an answer to what the hospital's offering, which is garbage, like, come over, let's sit in a circle with women, let's talk about physiological birth, and let's talk about what the system's offering you for real. Like, let's reveal it, and then we can all make informed choices. At the time, I had four friends that happened to all be pregnant, and they were all like, "Can you come to my birth?" And I was like, "This is great." So what helped me further on this path was one of those births was, they were all home births. One was insanely traumatic. This midwife fucking butchered this birth, and it was so sad. Really harmed the baby, actually, by pulling the baby out and really, really messing with its neck. Breastfeeding was horrendous for this woman. It was so sad, and I was mortified, and also then the whole like, "You're bleeding too much, and if you don't take this Pitocin, you have to transfer right now." And I'm like looking at her, I'm like, "There's no blood, like what?" So then something clicked of like, oh my God, no, that's not my story. This is happening all the time. This is literally midwifery 101.
You've been duped.
I've been duped. Then the third birth I was invited to was a free birth, actually. And a very dear friend who invited me to witness, and it was just her and her partner. And I was like, oh, okay. So that's birth. Wow. It was so sacred to behold. It was so powerful and simple and gentle. And she was such a queen and a badass. I'm covered in goosebumps. And she really gave me the gift. She gave me the gift of seeing clearly. She gave me the gift of the ultimate comparison to hold in my own body. So I had my own birth, which was completely protected. Like, I could not penetrate what had happened, which, again, when I'm saying it out loud and when you list on paper all the things that happened, it makes no sense that I could walk away with the story that I had a dream home birth unintervened. But that the point is that my protective mechanisms were so
Yeah,
strong that it really
exactly.
took me binging Free Birth Society podcasts, getting insanely triggered, and then attending some births myself to see what's actually happening. So that set me on a course of deciding after witnessing her do this, of like, I'm 100% going to have free birth the next time I get pregnant. Like, there's absolutely no doubt. I will not engage with a system that's so full of harmful practices. I got to revisit my own birth and go through it detail by detail and unpack it and really see it for what it was, and look at all the transgressions on my body and make peace with that maiden version of myself that was unable to protect myself. I was unable to make boundaries. I was unable to validate my own worth and take up the space and claim it as mine. We really forget this in our culture, that this is ours to claim. We are allowed to enjoy. We are allowed to,
Yeah, I think it's interesting too how the choice to opt into an authoritative hierarchical model is implicit in first-time moms. I mean, obviously most women, but I think that's interesting for women who are listening who maybe haven't birthed yet to think about that. I mean, obviously, unless this is your very first episode, welcome. And you don't have to opt into an authoritative top-down hierarchical model because you can be as badass and clear and educated as Rachel was, you know, and still you're going to get the same story. And that's so many women will come to me in birth trauma debriefs and be like, I thought that it wouldn't happen to me. Like, I heard every episode. I did all the stuff. I did all the due diligence. I found the midwife that said all the right things. And I just really thought that I would be the one that it wouldn't happen to. And I get it because in the rest of your world, you probably make your own decisions and don't have an abuser like fucking with you, you know? But y all of us, someone made it, someone, we said this the other day in one of the episodes of this analogy of like birthing in the system's like playing a game of chess, but you only have half your pieces and you're not even quite sure on the rules, you know? And then you're going toe to toe in a chess game. It's like you cannot win. It's set
And
up.
you're high as a kite and like completely altered and soft and
Totally.
malleable. And
And then there's that. Totally.
it's such a shame. A woman the
It
other day
is.
was like, yeah, but I'm inviting a midwife because I'm just doing the middle way. It's my first birth. And
No
to
way.
which, yeah, and we were just, yeah, it was in one of our circles and we were like, there's no middle way. I can tell you actually the way that is, and it's definitely not a middle way. And also this justification of I'm a first-time mom, so maybe in my second birth I could be a little more
Let me get
proactive to choose
abused
a sovereign
first.
birth. Totally. And that's fascinating, the different ways in which we choose to learn our lessons and come home to ourselves.
So
That's a
sad.
journey. Yeah.
Well, and
So
I think this is where we're going to get to your birth work later, but I think this all does tie to first time women are often not ready to do it alone. Totally understandable. And so then what? Like, where are their choices? And so a lot of women are choosing this because they feel like it is their only option or their best option, which is why we need to keep proliferating this model of sovereign midwifery, because that's fucking nonsense. And I
nonsense.
do believe that women are kind of both like smart and making decisions out of this real survival, you know, state. And so it, the more options they can have, the better choices they're going to make. Duh.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so you get this epic gift of being invited to a wild birth. Thank God. That
So
changes
good.
everything. So you
That
get rid of
changes everything.
that, helps you get the courage to really unpack your medical midwife sabotage.
Yeah, which left me full of rage and clarity. And that's the beauty of it. The rage burns down all the bullshit until I'm feeling so clear and aligned in the choice that I know that I will make in the future. As far as my work, I'm still not there yet. So I'm still like, okay, I will present all of the information to the women and I'm only doing home births and I'll tell them everything I know. And of course, then they get to choose and I'll still walk with them. So that takes quite some births to, again, like 9 out of 10 see absolute sabotage and fuckery and leave feeling completely decimated and slaughtered in my own body of like, this is, and then having every now and then sprinkling in with these women that are like, hey, I really just want a sister to sit with me. And I'm like, great. So I have this really stark contrast of what it is to see a sovereign birth, where again, I'm just sitting in a corner silently in reverence as a woman does what she does. And then also the other one, I'm still sitting in a corner in reverence, but I'm also impacted by all of the fear in the room. And again, with this like quasi position of like, but I'm not a bodyguard, but all of the weird intervenings that a woman may want her doula to do, that was also a hard no. I'm like, I'm not going to tell the midwife not to do the thing. It's not my job. Watching the women say no 100 times until finally somehow the hand gets up in her vagina because they get what they want, you know? So I'm like getting closer and closer to making this business choice of I and real spiritual choice, but also, you know, my work in the world of like, okay, I'm only going to support women that are choosing a sovereign path. And that felt like a scary leap, actually. It felt like there's not enough women in this country that could choose
It's a
that. And that's also,
scarcity.
it's a scarcity thing. And exactly. And it's so new here, you know, like, okay, the movement is in the States, but it's just coming over to Denmark. And if this is how I actually like want to make my living and it's my calling, but maybe I just have to do other women's work because I definitely want to work with women, but like, how could I do this other thing?
So many
You
birth
know?
workers are grappling with this, that like really what they're saying is like, I guess I need to see women get raped and traumatized for my job. Like, I
To
guess
make
that's just,
money.
women just aren't ready to not be raped. So I guess I'll just keep making money this way because just the women aren't here yet. Like,
No,
that's what I hear
no.
when women say that. And it's like, that's
Obviously,
fucking nuts.
there's a lot of unconscious subtext there and a lot of
Yeah.
unconscious beliefs around that we really hold on to, right? I need to uphold this because then worlds start shattering, and but I'm also here for the world shattering, so
totally,
and building new paradigms.
There's a lot of rhetoric in the birth world around trust birth, and really what I think we need to be saying is trust women, and what does that really mean? And I don't mean it in the doula rhetoric of, oh, you should just attend them wherever they go, but rather trust that women will rise to the options, you know, laid before them, and that you and I and the brave women doing this work are leading a way for women to say yes to. And what I see again and again and again, and obviously what we teach in MMI and RBK, is that part of trusting women is to know that they will come because they actually want to be treated well in their births, and you can become an option to do that, which beautifully you go on to do. Thank God.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God. Yeah, and it also came from doing a lot of inner work and locating where my integrity is and where my values are, and then actually like laying that on paper. Am I acting in integrity? Am I actually walking with what I believe, or am I doing this out of, the because I also want to see birth and I want to make money, and there's all of these conflicting things, right? And it's like, no, but I don't want to see that birth. I don't want to see birth like that, because that's not birth. So that became also very clear in me, like, that's a hard no. I'm feeling disgusted and disembodied when I leave, versus feeling so high and so like, I'm a writer. So whenever I go to a sovereign birth, I leave and poetry just, it pours through me. Like I write like odes of love to these women that I see in their primal power. It's so good. And I'm like, we all deserve that. That's what every woman deserves. So yeah, that's clear. So I reframe my birth business. I reframe the way I want to show up for women, the way I want to serve women. And I begin to approach conceiving my second son. And that was also like a very conscious decision of when we decided to do that. My partner was ready long before I was, but for me, I wanted to, it's so cute. I wanted to engage with my work, but I also wanted to pour all of my love and energy into my son and really like form that solid attachment before inviting the beautiful chaos of another baby into our family. And after COVID nonsense and all this crazy stuff, my marriage definitely had some work to be looked at. We needed to find ourselves in each other again. And that I took that very seriously, because an intention of inviting another baby and was also to keep our marriage at the center of our home, and that it fractured out a bit. So we did some really beautiful work and connected and found our juice and our love and our care again, and conceived my son. And yeah, pregnancy was great. Feeling strong, definitely sick, feeling like shit in that way, but you know, life goes on. I know, yeah, but it's like, but I love being pregnant, and totally, I really go into comforting. Like this, like that's the contrast, right, of being a woman. So many things can be true at once. Mm-hmm. 12 weeks before I got pregnant, my best friend also, she got pregnant, so it was like such a joy to share that together. And we quite quickly decided, like, let's be at each other's births, like you come to mine, I come to yours, and that felt so lovely. And yeah, amazing to create this like family container where we held each other's stories. And yeah, she and I have traveled together on many different levels, and I knew her ability to hold space and be in sacred devotion and ceremony was like, yeah, it just felt so good to invite her. And I also knew that she would have a baby at that time, so it was like, yeah, bring your baby and you and my partner will sit there in silent reverence. And yeah, basically I made every day a delicious prenatal where I did what I wanted, ate what I wanted, engaged energetically with what I wanted. And I don't even really have a lot of bullshit to tune out, because I feel that I've like curated a life where, yeah, I'm feeling very supported and very loved. I remember towards the end of the pregnancy being like, it's so nice that there's just no one to pathologize me. There's nothing in here to make a problem out of anything. I'm just growing life and enjoying it, feeling so peaceful, not feeling ever like there's anything I need to defend myself against or justify or protect. And I think that's, it's just such a shame that a modern woman's pregnancy and birth experiences end up about how to protect themselves or how to not get abused and fucking killed, basically. There is another way. There's a way where we can actually feel very good and very nourished and, yeah, very much in our power. So that is how I felt.
The third option is women that absolutely love to pathologize themselves and they don't feel against the system at all. They're like, tell me, doctor, all the ways I'm, you know, broken and all the drugs I should take. And they're like super into that. It's a very sick consciousness, but I think it's actually probably our majority. And then there's, you know, the like internal quiet rebel who like doesn't like what's happening. You know,
totally.
But I think a lot of women totally. Where they're at, like, they love it. They're like, yeah, I'm so fucked up. Yeah, I need you. Yeah, I outsource. You know, those aren't the words they're going to use, but they're like,
No, they go in and say,
you know, like, govern me harder, you know?
Yeah, daddy. Yeah. They go in begging for the C-section. Obviously, yeah. I remember going back to Ohio when my first son was 1.5 and meeting with like some old college acquaintances and friends who were fucking dumbfounded that I had my natural home birth because they all went straight for the epidural, straight for the everything. And they were like, they'd never met a woman who had a natural birth at home.
Why wouldn't you want major, major surgery? Like,
why wouldn't you want fentanyl in your spine? I mean, I like to get high too, right? It's great.
That literally is the scariest possible way I could think of getting high. You know? Like on a table, not feeling
nightmarish.
With strangers around you. And oh my God.
Yeah. It's very sad. While naked and completely on display.
Very, very sad. So you're curated your life in a way that your pregnancy gets to be the high vibes that it should be. And you're heading into your birth. Your friend does birth prior to you.
Yeah, has a fucking epic free birth. She's wonderful. She's so strong. She was a queen. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever watched. I'm so lucky. I'm feeling so high and connected to her and her family. And then to bring that energy into my birth was like, her son was 3 months old at the time. He was like silent my entire birth, which just goes to show like, yeah, he was a little angel, like a little spiritual midwife. He was so good. So I feel great. My requirements for this birth are that the space and energies are tended to and that no one talks to me unless spoken to. Like I don't want anything and definitely don't want anything. I just want to hang out, kind of have a family party, and they're down to do that. So the night before I go into labor, I tuck myself into bed and I feel this like tiny little womb wave. Like it's such a distinct wave and it's like 10 seconds. Zoop, and I'm like, okay, cool. And maybe like 30, 40 minutes later, another little like zoop happens. I'm like, okay, like maybe it's gonna happen. And basically I just drift in and out of dreamland and would wake, I don't know how often, but every so often with this experience of a very short crescendo. And it never really went anywhere. So morning comes and my husband like wraps me in his arms and I tell him what's up and nothing else really happens. So I'm like, yeah, I go to work. It's all good. I'm just going to hang out, take our son to kindergarten and who's four. No, he just turned 5. Yeah. So he's 5 at the time. So I waited that long in between, which was such a fucking wonderful decision for us. I love the age gap. It's so good.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We've got, I think 4.5. It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Suni was born like 1 week before my first son. Our babies are very close in age. So he goes to work. I'm kind of hanging out in the kitchen, making breakfast, feeling some waves. If I vary again, these like teensy things, womb activity, if you will. When I stand up, but if I sit down, then then nothing happens. I'm like, okay, I'm just watching this. It's so good. Around 8:30, I go to the bathroom and see that, there's quite some blood and mucus. So I'm like, okay, maybe that's my mucus plug. And then like a surge of more intensity and stronger length comes. And I'm like, okay, I'm deciding like this is happening. So I call my friend and I call my partner and I'm like, yeah, maybe you guys can head over. And he's like, how fast should I drive? Like, I'm 40 minutes away. And I'm like, it's chill. And yeah, my son just continues playing with Legos, la la la. And I go into the bedroom and yeah, I just settle into my body and I feel quite emotional. I like tear up and I'm crying a little bit, just like in this very meta understanding of what I'm about to go into and the journey I'm about to go through, and feeling so peaceful and calm in it, and very tender and open. And my husband comes home and he finds me in bed and cuddles my body, and yeah, we just connect, and it feels so stable and grounding to have created this baby in love and know that I have my husband's loving support through this entire thing, like as this foundational stability. So I'm like, yeah, I hadn't decided if I wanted to include my son yet. And I had the fantasy of like family birth. Oh my gosh. And I've talked to him about birth since forever. He's seen many birth videos. Like it's very important to me to deliver this other kind of consciousness to my sons. So I'm like, ah, oh, it could be so nice, of course, to give him this experience. And in that moment, I was like, take him away. Like, not happening. No, I do not.
No way.
Like there's no way I'll have any capacity to be anything but showing up for myself. So like anything he has, like I don't want in my space. I'm so glad he
Yeah.
wasn't there. Oh my goodness, great. So he's like, cool, I'll drive. So that was nice to have this like empty house feeling and know that soon, like the homies, my beloveds, were going to come. But in those moments, probably like 40 minutes or something, it was just me. And I put on music and lit a candle and just rocked with my waves. And yeah, I lay on the couch and again, just feel so emotionally touched. And I kind of start crying again. And it has nothing to do with the pain. It's not even painful, but yeah, nothing to do with that. It's like the veils start splitting and I'm entering into another dimension. And that feels so soft, and I can't comprehend that I'm a woman and I get to do this. It's like, wow. And as I'm crying, I feel someone's presence next to me on the couch, and then someone grabbed my hand and I open my eyes, and it's my best friend. And I just start weeping, like looking into her eyes, and it's just so emotional. And it's like this person that I love and trust so deeply. And there she is, and she's holding her baby and holding my hand. And I'm like, okay, it has begun. Ceremony started. My husband sets up some squishy stuff in front of the fire, and I'm just standing, swaying, rocking over in that area. The sensations are super low in my womb. I can almost feel like it's like divided in two in my womb. Like I feel no activity at all in the top, and just very mild sensations in the lower half. And obviously, I'm not timing, but I'm like, okay, these feel kind of short. So after like an hour of doing that, I'm like, okay, is it because baby hasn't engaged? You know, the brain wants to start all my birth stuff. Like, okay, does the baby's head need to come down? And then I still have to do all the other work. Is this going to take forever? La la la. And then I'm like, whatever, fuck that. Just keep going. Like, allow the thoughts to be there and run through me, and then they go away. I'm making like next to no sound. It's a very breathy, calm, silent. Like when I see the videos, it's just like super serene and chill. In my body, it feels like a lot of pressure, like an enormous amount of pressure, and oh, it's so low and okay. And then probably an hour and a half after doing that, so the birth has been going on 2.5 hours maybe. I'm like going in the shower. I need new space. So I go to the shower and it doesn't really help. Oh my gosh, should I sleep? Should I eat? I'm in transition. So this is like my classic transition plan. Like, I guess, right? So I'm like, oh, what should I do to change this experience? Like, call my partner and I'm like, dry me off, like, whatever, man. It's like, ah. And in that moment, my pelvis tilts forward and my water just bursts all over the bathroom, just like, and he's like, did you just pee? No, my water burst, and the sensation of the pressure easing, like that, the release of that pressure was like, oh, that was so nice. Whew. And in that moment, it went from this super serene, calm experience to like full on literal emergence. Like from that moment to my son being born was 8 minutes. So it was so wild and so fast. So I recognize that the familiar feeling of the descent, right? Like I could just feel him drop into my birth canal, really, and was like, I love it because the sensation switches. It's not subtle. It's so obvious. Like no longer is the dilation and the perfect forming of baby's position, whatever. It's descent energy. It's And so I like yell because he was standing near the toilet, and I'm like, move, because it was like this simultaneous need to shit, throw up, like let him drop, snot pouring out, like all the great purges happening all at once. And I'm like, oh, this is so like ayahuasca. Like I'm so happy I'm trained in this like Jedi ninja focus that can be required to not go into too much of what's happening, but literally just allow the body to release in all the ways it needs to. And like that, it's almost like projectile vomiting. I mean, a lot's not coming out, but just this like diaphragm movement of bleh. So that passes, and I'm like, wow, okay. And then I yell for my friend, because I'm like, if she doesn't come in here, like she's gonna miss this awesome moment. And she comes in, and to me it's so obvious, but I can see on them, like they just saw me in the living room, like super chill and silent. So she's just like wanting to hang out with me. And then I'm like whispering, like, because I can like feel just a moment up into me, his head is there, and it just feels so giant. And they're like, huh? Rachel, are you giving birth now? Like what? And I'm like, yes, like the baby's here. So I move off the toilet and come in this interesting, like forward lungy position, which is again just another perfect way that my body wanted to be based on the position of my baby. And I think afterwards I remember thinking, like, it is so fascinating to me that a woman in the middle of this, like I've seen women demand that women get out of the birthing pool with a head in between her legs because obviously they don't have the access they need. And it is like, how the fuck did she do that? Because in that moment, there was no other position that I could have been in at all. Like I couldn't have been any lower. It feels like my whole body would have torn. Like literally, my body went into this lunge and that was it. And I'm like, how can we be as women so obedient in this authority? It's because we are in the most vulnerable experience of our life. And then someone with perceived authority is telling us to do something absurd and so against what our body wants. But the command is still followed. Like I've seen crazy shit. And I'm like, that's some deep indoctrination that I hope for every woman on the planet that we get to unplug from this indoctrination and really get real with, like, why would you ever, in a moment that's so fine-tuned to your survival and your success, listen to someone on the outside with such absurd advice because they want to get closer to your pussy? Really, it's fucking gross. So none of that was present at my free birth. So I'm in this lunge, not pushing at all. The force of the universe is moving through me, and it is incredible and intense and painful and cosmic, and it's many things. There's no way out but through, and I feel very ready to go through the ring of fire. I could feel quite some burning around my yoni, but nothing that stopped what was about to happen, which was his head emerging. And I had my hand on my vulva and his head as it came out. And then when his head came out, I just like needed to put both hands on my own legs just to stabilize. So my partner was behind me, and he's so epic and efficient. He somehow managed to like grab his phone and put it like right underneath. So I have this like crazy epic video of like ass and vulva and head emerging that I was totally not expecting to get. And then I have this, the normal, forward-facing video that my friend took. So it's really nice for me to be able to see all these angles that I would never get to see of my own baby's emergence. It was super cool. And to see my husband's face, because what you really see is me, but his face too. So to watch him receive my baby, our baby, yeah, that was It's so beautiful. So my son comes out and he passes him through me, through my legs to me, and I kneel on the bathroom floor and just hold him, and I'm very high. I'm very, very high still, and in a lot of discomfort. Like I'm not a woman who I see many women on the internet and in person that to me I perceive it as like they're in the experience and then it's like that was over, and then they're just in this glorious my baby and that's not how I experience it. I experience it as it definitely takes some long moments for me to land into the experience of what the actual fuck just happened. That was crazy. So it's such a treasure to be able to have that uninterfered with and to be able to hold my baby in silence without anyone directing anything and the contact come from me when I'm ready. So that was some breaths there of just feeling the enormity of like,
I actually think it's like one of the most important parts of integration, you know, to not have that somebody put your baby on your chest and kind of force that part that you're describing. I think the steps of integration for your own consciousness to like digest what the fuck just happened and how rattled and how like spiritually shattered you know we are from that is a really important step to get to take your time, and really only women in sovereign births even get the chance to take their time in that. We're just talking about like a couple seconds sometimes, but to not have it forced on you by literally your baby being put on your chest and to get to do that, I think for our brains is a really important and really significant integration point because of exactly what you said.
Yeah, so much has to catch up with the experience. So yeah, it felt very, this felt like such a reclamation for me. All parts were like, I'm owning this. This gets to be exactly my medicine. No one's altering it. No one's trying to just manage it a little bit so it's a little better. It's perfect and it's mine. And I want to taste it all. Yeah, so we move from the bathroom to my fire squish area and feel so elated, so high. Like we're like, wow, that's crazy. The baby's here. What, that was 3 hours? Like, oh my goodness. Whoa. Feeling so happy, like looking at my best friend and my partner. And we're like, oh. And pretty shortly after the surges to, okay, their bitch slaps to get the placenta out begin, right? They were really, really terrible in birth one. And I'd always wondered if it was because I took such a giant dose of shepherd's purse that like that had done something, because they were brutal. Well, that's not the case, because I took nothing. And this time it slammed into me so hard, I vomited. Like I'm laying there with my baby. I just vomit and am like pouring sweat and shaking like a mad woman. And just so, and I'm like, oh yeah, like, it's really not, birth is not over. And it definitely from my experience, the placental emergence is much more intense, much more horrendous actually, because my contractions end up lasting multi-minutes. It's not just a wave. It's like knives in my womb for multi-minutes. And I'm like pleading with the gods and feeling like I'm going to die. And just like, it's so brutal, man. And then it would pause and I'm like, okay, whew. So this happens a few times within the span of an hour. And at about an hour, I'm like, I want the placenta out, because I've got in my head that if I get the placenta out, then my womb will have to do so much work, right? And then maybe this is my story, my hopeful story. So I'm like, okay, I kneel over our sourdough bowl, which I love cooking with still. And I kind of like tug on the cord a little bit and nothing's really happening. Another contraction slams into me. And it's just like, I simply cannot be sitting up, holding my baby and holding my body weight while I'm shaking so much. Like it's just so bad. So I like lay back down. I'm like, but I want this placenta out. I really want it out. So I look at my friend and I'm like, would you pull a little bit on it? And this is like, this is such a redemption and such a full circle healing experience for me. This right here, where I have my best friend in front of me who is She's only of service to my highest good. She has zero agenda. She has zero fear. She literally is there to hold space for me and be guided by me and my authority and my agency, which is like such a drastic shift from anything women receive within the medical model, and such a giant shift from the abuse that happened in my first birth when I'm literally saying no and it's happening to my body anyways. And then I go so fucking numb that I block that out and, like, you know, bury that story so deep that it takes years for that to surface of what really happened. So I lay there. She's like, she pulls a little bit and is like, it's definitely right here. Like, you can release it. And I'm like, okay. So it comes out, it flops onto the bed, and I'm so, and it's all on video. It's so sweet. I'm so relieved. Like, my whole body's like, oh, and I'm just like crying. Like, thank you so much. And, oh, and she just leans her chin onto my knee, and she had picked my placenta up and put it in the bowl, and her hands are covered in my womb blood. And she just looks into my eyes and smiles. And I'm just like, this is it. Like, this is sisterhood. This is true service to women and birth. It's just this intimacy. Mm-hmm. So then the very obvious, like, hormonal shift of, like, placenta being out, it comes over me, because the high just gets way, way higher. So, like, that work is done. And then I'm really elated and, like, really like, oh man, this is crazy. But sadly, the after pains, I have to call them that because that's what they are. They're not done with me. And every so often, you know, every hour, and obviously when every time he nurses and latches, it is horrendous. And it's a 3.5-4 day experience for me, which every day gets progressively better. But even by day four, it was still like super gnarly period cramps. And I was just done with it, right? After 4 days of feeling completely demolished by... Yeah, this experience, it lasts. It also did in my first birth. It lasts a long time for me, and it sucks. But what I want to emphasize is that it wasn't a problem. Like, this was not an issue, and it was just a part of my experience, a part of my initiation that I rose up and I met, and then it passed. I guess just this maybe fear that can swirl around in some women's consciousness of like, but what if this happens, and will I be able to handle this? And should we call, is this a problem? And it's often, though, just meeting the experience and being with it and allowing it. It is just a part of our journey, and it doesn't actually have to be infused with fear. There was never any fear energy in it. It was just like, damn, I'm ready to fully enjoy this newborn phase and not have to deal with this, like, hourly excruciation. But
helped. What was your kind of protocol? Any tips for women who haven't gone through it yet?
I worked with Belladonna. I can't say that I don't know that it did so much help. It has definitely helped me many years ago with womb menstruation pain. So I felt, okay, maybe this can be it, but that wasn't really, yeah, nothing really took the edge off. I also had like a cramp bark motherwort tincture that I was at this point taking quite a few different herbs. And okay, but what really helped was a hot water bottle, just keeping a hot water pack on my womb at all times and literally not moving, which was always the plan. But I definitely, after both of my births, I kind of feel like I've gotten hit by a truck. Like, my body, like, all the energy is just zapped out, and then I'm done. That's just my flow. So the plan is always to stay in bed, but the reality is I can't really get out of bed. I don't want to get out of bed. I'm down. And the love for my husband really exploded in these days, like, just seeing how much of service he is to our family and what a pillar he is, and the amount of food and laundry and care and love for all of us, the whole family, that he showed up with endlessly in those days and weeks was just like, yeah, my heart blew open and I felt so grateful to have this man serve me in this way while I healed literally and spiritually and came back together, but also got to really honor that bubble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank goodness. So how would you say, kind of in conclusion, how would you say your sovereign birth has changed you. What do you notice about who you are now, having gone through this power walk?
Yeah, I'm a queen. It's that feels like I'm amazing. I feel completely in line with what I know to be my capacity. I feel that my first birth was like a launching, like launching me into a lot of realms that I need to explore and let die, and a lot of identities that I was holding on to that were not serving. So that was like a 5-year deep inner work. I worked with you. I worked with the 15 commitments. A lot of different ceremonial things to really come home to myself, launch me into this space. And when I look at Lumio's birth, my second son, I feel like I landed. Like I landed into my body as a woman, as the matriarch of my family, as the clear visionary for the path through which my family's walking. And yeah, it feels much more clear and easy to inhabit the space that I'm in and take it up.
Yeah, I feel that. Beautiful.
Yeah, so grateful.
Thank you. Thank you for your time and your story medicine. And it's just so, it's so cool how many women that walk this path and are willing to do their work then so naturally attend their sisters. It's like the most epic ripple effect of consciousness raising, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that is what this is. This movement is spreading like wildfire. Like I know so many women in Denmark that are free birthing and choosing sovereign birth. And it's wild. Like it's unstoppable. And yes, also answering the call to show up and serve other women, because when we see this system that's clearly harming, the only answer is to be like, and I'm over here and I'm of service. We're all over here. Yeah.
So how can women find you?
Yeah, I am at womb.song on Instagram, and my website is Rachel Ruva. Yeah, I offer in-person and online services to women around the world. So yeah, I'm here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Emily.
Nice to sit with you and hear all of this.
I hope you enjoyed the show today. You can support this podcast by donating to it through the link in the show notes below. And of course, leaving an awesome review on whatever platform you listen on. The more reviews, the more visibility the show gets. So let's spread the good word of Sovereign Birth. Don't forget, you can watch our podcast interviews on YouTube and see the women as they tell their birth and power stories. And you'll also find our viral free birth collection of epic raw birth videos on our YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed to our channel. We've always got a lot going on at Free Birth Society, and you can find out all about it at freebirthsociety.com, at Free Birth Society on Instagram, and opt in to my newsletter below. We offer courses on free birth, authentic midwifery, the blood mysteries, as well as one-on-one coaching, in-person retreats, and of course our annual women's gathering, the Matriarch Rising Festival. Our exclusive private vetted membership, The Lighthouse, is definitely something to check out if you're looking for a community of wise sisters to get guidance from and to meet in real life. Together we rise, sisters. We must speak our stories, fully claim our lives, and support one another. This is the living revolution, and I am so grateful to be in it with all of you. I'll leave you with our gorgeous Free Birth Society theme song, Wild Woman by Aruba Red.
I honor you for the wisdom you held, the ancient traditions of plant medicine and womb magic. I feel the spirit of the ancestors as I place my hands upon my belly. This sacred portal will be honored. Eons upon light beams of survival, withstanding the eradication of our power by design. I will not allow the separation of our young to be forced upon me. My sisters will no longer birth in captivity. The picket line redefined from burning our wild women to paralyzing us and drugging our babes. Strapped down in a clinical white bed, drying up the milk from our breasts, keep your needles. My family will never again be doomed to chase those dragons or your poison. We reject your fear. We choose love. Everything with intention. Death, ascension. I will fly and bring her back.